It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
What do you think of role play?
It'd be fun.
Yeah? Well, Jan has this schoolgirl fantasy.
It's a pretty common one.
I feel uncomfortable wearing the dress.
Yeah.
Beth Ann McBride.
Please come to the studio.
Man, you're keeping her busy today.
Well, we're waiting to talk to Gene Simmons. I don't see anybody online here, so I want to get an update on that
she
situation.
Should wear a pedometer so we know how much she does.
You know, he is a super big rock star.
Yes.
And,
how do you mean that?
I watched one of the Family Jewels episodes where he was like 45 minutes late for a gig.
No. I just called his people, and he's on it, and he's going to be calling.
Good.
And I'm looking at the telephone.
It's a tough job being a producer of a radio program.
I always enjoyed it.
Because the way it works is we are one step above circus clowns.
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
No, I can see it right here.
Now, don't forget to mention his book.
Jesus Christ, what are you doing to me? You're telling me about a guest who is not called yet. And you're saying mention his book. Of course I'll mention his book if he calls us.
Sure. I know you will.
Just going to wait.
That's a good song, isn't it?
Lovely song.
What's your favorite Kiss song of all time?
Stop.
The one you got to hear.
Honey.
Yeah.
I can pat. Trust me. I know how to do that.
You know what the best Kiss song is?
I was just talking with you.
I know. I don't want to talk. You understand? Here's the way I look at it. I'll go on to something completely different. And now for something completely different. But I feel like when someone's doing this, it's not necessary for us to talk about that person who's not going to be here. You see, that just compounds it. I do want to mention, though, that tomorrow, Velocity 5 will be hosting the Operation Octagon Weigh-In and $1,000 Ring Girl Contest. That all starts at 7 p.m.
Wow.
Velocity 5, thank you for bringing the challenge.
Yeah, thank
Wasn't
you,
that
Rigo.
Nice that I
Delicious.
Did that?
And, you brought fruit.
I have a little advance notice for the next BYOB Friday, the day of our big party on the 8th, Katie has requested to sit in and join us. Normally, she's got to run the dump button.
Oh, that's great.
And she's sitting in her little studio, and she doesn't join us.
Just been approved by her immediate super.
Oh, really? You already found out that it's been approved?
So the 8th, it is Katie in studio.
Well, is CK going to be coming out later? Is that the way that's going to work?
I imagine, actually, CK will be on our dump button that day.
Oh, good.
And then he will join us out at the event.
All right, that's good to hear. So we're looking forward to our big party on the 8th. That, of course, will be at Bungalow Billiards, doing their best to save the wildlife with billiards and brew and great food, too. Now I'm looking at Beth Ann. This is fun to watch because I'm actually looking at Beth Ann.
I could be in the back.
All right, go ahead.
People.
Go to the back. Go call people in the back.
Yeah, we don't normally get this show.
She can call people. I have plenty to talk about.
Sure
I want to talk about the Olympics. That's going to be debuting, believe it or not. Our party on the 8th is the very first night of the Olympics.
True enough.
Are you gentlemen interested in the worst Olympians?
Well, sure. The worst Olympians?
Of all time?
We can relate to them.
Best. International sporting events are about nothing if not national pride. Here are five countries whose Olympic performance leaves their countrymen with little to celebrate.
Wow.
I love the internet. I love the internet because people are gathering information.
I love the fact that someone took the time to compound this. Yeah,
well, you know, there's statistics and they've got these things. Also, today's program, we are going to be playing a brand new game that I think you're going to like. It does fall into that wonderful category of difficult games.
Yes.
But this one is a challenge, and you will have a chance to win $500 American.
That's right.
Let me see. Going down the line here. India. The total medal count for India is 17. Think of India as the Washington Nationals of Olympic sport. India is by far the worst performing Olympic country. No matter how you slice it, it's not for lack of trying. A Games participant since 1900.
Wow.
India still ranks behind Nigeria, a country with an economy 1/12 of India's size, in total medals. The country's athletic ineptitude is so profound that a parliamentarian called for 2 minutes of silence to lament the demise of Indian sports after the squad failed to win any medals in Barcelona in 1992.
I didn't know that the modern Olympics went back that far.
It says what's wrong. They tell you what's wrong with the country and why they don't do well.
Why is that?
Few sports venues, roughly 33 stadiums and sports complexes for a huge population, 1.1 billion. People, they only have 33 stadiums. I mean, if you compare that to the United States, you'd see that. A lack of school sports programs, stingy government funding, and a narrow talent base. The result, a country whose most celebrated claim to Olympic greatness, the Flying Sikh, a track and field star who broke hearts by placing fourth at the 1960 Rome Games.
Wow.
It's not that Indians can't excel at athletics. Since 1933, the state of Punjab. Always love that name.
It's a fun name.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a great place to find a whorehouse?
Yeah.
Punjab They've hosted their own rural Olympics where competitors vie for glory in tug-of-war mule cart racing.
Wow.
Sack lifting. This is the whole thing. I could just deal with India right here.
Wow. That sounds like something you'd do down on the farm.
And various feats of strength. And there's hope in the air. Indian steel magnate Lakshmi, it's L-A-K-S-H-M-I, Lakshmi Mittal has established a trust to fund athletes' training and medical care.
Well, good.
And put India firmly on the medal grid for 2012. So I guess they've given up hope for 2008 right now.
Yeah.
Do we have the big
man
here?
Famous Indian Olympian on hold.
We have the big man here. It's worth the wait. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome him. He is the man, rock star, mogul, Gene Simmons. Gene, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, but I should start out by apologizing. It's been a bit hectic, and lawyers, you know, operate under lawyer time, so they torture the rest of us poor mortals. So
I know.
Nothing personal. I just got caught up in the mess.
Gene, it's great to talk to you. I believe seriously, and you will not remember this, but I certainly do, that the last time I talked to you was in studio doing the old morning show, where we sent you and Paul Stanley across the street to a 7-Eleven in the 1980s. That's the last time I think I talked to Gene Simmons on the air, and it was a fun day. We thought you were gods.
I'm astonished you remember that, much less last week.
You know me well, then. I love your show. I love the Family Jewels. Mm-hmm. That's obviously not what you're here
for. You mean Gene Simmons Family Jewels.
Gene Simmons Family Jewels.
That's the one.
Yes, Gene Simmons.
Well, you'll only get the respect you demand. After all, you don't want me to just say radio show.
Mike O'Mara radio show.
See how that works?
Yeah, it
works very nice.
Gene Simmons Family Jewels. You know, that show, the thing I love about the show is it's a hybrid. It's a combination of other shows that have been similar, but you've put your own stamp on it. But I know you want to talk about your book, the new book that's, I guess, it's out there now. You finished it, Ladies of the Night, A Historical and Personal Perspective on the World's Oldest Profession.
Wow.
I don't know how up-to-date I am on your show because it broadcasts all the time. You see it all. And I think the last one that I watched, I have them all TiVo'd, was when you were getting busted in an alley talking to some wonderful ladies of the evening.
You know, all that's true. What's also true is that Ladies of the Night, I'm proud to say, this week debuted in the L.A. Times bestseller
thing, cool.
at number 7.
Wow. My God.
Nice.
That's got to feel pretty good. And the research had to be a little bit of fun, too, I would imagine.
Well, it's nothing like that. The idea that you actually have to personally experience something in order to witness it. You know, scientists witness all sorts of events, and then they report on them.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, when that show was on, I'm Gene Simmons. I don't have to pay for it. And I've seen, there's no other human being.
I never quite said it that way. Let's just be clear for the record.
Yes, of course, Mr. Simmons.
No matter how you skew it, and I mean that in the very nicest way, you will always have to pay for it.
Yes,
that is
true.
Whether you're a freckle-faced kid out of Wisconsin taking the next girl next door out for dinner, you'll have to pay for it. Whether you buy roses, chocolates, get married, alimony, schmalimony, divorce, payments, dowry, any way you want to look at it, you will pay.
I'm going to begin to weep in a second here.
He speaks the truth.
Well, anytime a guest says alimony, you know how that makes me feel, Rob.
I know, Mike.
Alimony sounds like a word from the Middle East, Ali. So I tend to shy away from that. I personally am not familiar with anything that's an institution that you have to be committed to. That sounds like a nut house, so I'm out.
Now, you are, and just for the record, you are not legally married to Shannon, but you have a wonderful family and a very tight family, and your family's also, I have to say this, I mean this as the highest compliment, every member of your family, your son, your daughter, Shannon, you guys are all just as cool as the other side of the pillow.
So true.
You all seem just so relaxed and just comfortable in your own skin. Is it that way all the time?
It is, because you're not allowed to be miserable. You have to take the point of view that God has only given you 24 hours of life, in which case your choices are to live it or not. And if you take a look at the rest of the world there, but for the grace of God, you'd be starving. You know, we're in Western civilization, mm-hmm. America, where we can say and think what we like. You can be in Iran. Mm-hmm. Or you can be in Sudan, or you can be in a lot of other countries, Myanmar, where, you know, the cost of freedom is your life. So, you know, I'm very blessed and very privileged to be living in the greatest country in the history on the face of the planet, and it's called America, baby. And anybody that tells you otherwise is jealous. Now, remember, I wasn't born in America. Take it from an immigrant. There is no one who loves America more than someone who wasn't born here.
And you have certainly captured the American dream. One of the things I love about your show is you never seem to miss a business opportunity. It begs the question, when you were a kid, which did you fantasize more about, being a rock star or a business tycoon? Because you ended up being both.
Right.
Well, you know, it's a good question. I remember hearing a story once, and it'll answer your question. Two guys are talking, and two girls are talking, and the two guys say to each other, "Hey, I've got a blind date for you." And his guy says, "Really? What does she look like?" "Sounds natural." Two girls are talking, "I've got a blind date for you." "Really? What does he do?"
Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard that, not only did the notion of the oldest profession in the world, no matter how you skew it, come up, but, you know, the access to a smile on a girl's face is when you pull up in a Rolls Royce and you say, "I'm flying you to Paris for lunch," as opposed to in a Volkswagen, with all due respect to Volkswagen, we're going to go have some beans.
Leads us to the book, Ladies of the Night, an historical and personal perspective on the world's oldest profession. Now, when you talk about historical, obviously you did some research on the oldest profession. And as far as the personal perspective, at least what I got from Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, you did a lot of interviews of women that on various levels in the world of prostitution, right?
I did both. I will tell you that because America, good, bad, or otherwise, is a remnant of the Puritan ethic, we have decidedly very uptight notions about sex in all its forms, marriage and so on. You know, people even chastise Mormons for wanting more than one wife. You know, they try to legislate that as opposed to consenting adults behaving in any way they choose. We want to regulate that. Outside of America, it's not an issue at all and is legal in most of the world. Now, it's interesting to note when Mitterrand, who was the head of France a few decades back, went to his grave, they had a public broadcast of his funeral on television. Right there, as he was put into the ground, was his wife and all his mistresses lined up next to each other.
Go ahead. They were all mourning equally. I remember hearing about that they were all there.
Yeah, yes, it was not an issue at all. It was just like men love women. And the news is what?
Right.
So now I'm here not to... The book, by the way, is an art book. It is not here to tell you how to think, what to do, what to say. It doesn't advocate anything. Simply goes through the historical museums and remnants and the artifacts of yesteryear and today, of course, in Amsterdam, the Red Light District, the brothels of Rome, the geishas of Japan, the courtesans of Europe's, the Renaissance period and so on. It is a very, very colorful history and bears actually studying. Doesn't mean you have to... I mean, if I wrote a book about nudism in art since the dawn of time, you'd go to the museums, see a Rubin painting of a nude woman eating grapes or whatever, with all kinds of interesting people around her studying her nudity. And if you put that in Playboy or Maxim or something, then it's porn. But if it's in a museum, it's art.
So it's an art book.
It is an art book.
Would Amsterdam be, and when you look at the United States and prostitution in the United States, obviously we come from a puritanical society, but you would also agree that there are certainly other cultures and other societies to this day that where women are much less free, and obviously when you think of burqas and that type of thing, that the women are repressed much more than they are in the United States.
What?
Would Amsterdam be the probably one of the most lenient societies that city as far as prostitution?
It is more lenient, and so are a few counties outside of Las Vegas. It only bears noting that wherever it's legal, organized crime doesn't have a foothold, and drugs, the crack whores, seem to be non-existent.
Wow.
As long as you make something that people want illegal, that is to say access to women and a decision for men to be willing to pay for it, if you make that illegal it is clear organized crime will make a business out of it because it's not going to go away, not today and not tomorrow.
Yeah, and so the women will be treated worse, too. That's the way that'll work.
Killed, usually, at some point.
Now,
yeah.
the book is Ladies of the Night, a Historical Perspective on the World's Oldest Profession. You can get that any bookstore and Amazon.com. Can we talk just briefly about the television show? Because I'm a big fan, and I want to ask you some questions.
Well, which one? Because I'm halfway through a new show I'm doing for CBS.
Oh, really?
In addition to our show called Jingles.
Welcome to the CBS family, Gene.
Glad to have you in the fold.
Thank you. That's going to debut, I believe, sometime in November, and Mark Burnett and I are doing that show, and I'm sort of a, the big a-hole that I usually am, sort of like a Trump-like figure who, you know, basically takes no prisoners and just tells you the facts of life as I see it.
Hmm. You've always been very outspoken, and you're that way on the family, on Gene Simmons' family, Jules. See, he corrected me, and I'm already saying it the proper way.
You'll only get the respect you demand.
Thank you very much.
Gotcha.
When you do this, you strike me as an individual who likes to exercise complete control over his career, and at least professionally. Mm-hmm. And when I watch the show, I imagine that you have the show is based in reality, but when you're actually shooting it, you know, you have situations that happen, but do you create little stories for your reality show, or does it all just happen? And if you don't want to answer that's fine.
No, of course I'll answer. I don't care.
Okay.
For God's sakes, I filmed my own facelift. I could care less what people think.
Okay, go ahead.
You can certainly go on the internet and see my face flung over my left shoulder like a scarf in the breeze of an open car. So I have no secrets. But it is clear that we're aware the cameras are there.
Right.
But pretty much what you see is what you get. It's sort of like this. If there's an event going on the street, like a fire, okay, there's a house on fire, the firemen come there, they try to put the fire out. If there are no cameras there, that's real reality. You're looking at the event and you're seeing the way they really are.
Right.
As soon as the news cameras show up, it's clear the firemen and the house and the people there aren't reading a script or behaving in a way they're told to behave.
Right.
But they're also certainly aware the cameras are there.
Mm-hmm.
So it is reality, but it's limited reality. Because as soon as you know there's a camera there, you might not tend to, I don't know, mount a farm animal the way you usually do, or whatever it is that you do in normal life.
Right.
But otherwise, it is a limited reality, yes.
And the biggest surprise for me is when you get emotional about your kids, and I enjoy that, because that is real, because I know you're not faking that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always been like that with your own family? I mean, you really, the scene that comes to mind is when you see Sophie in the fashion show, and you get all teared up. You get very, very choked up, and they show a little of it. They don't exploit it completely, but they show you. And go ahead.
I never knew about kids. I never wanted kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we guys are morons. We don't have what women have, which is their life givers. We just work here, you know? We build civilizations and buildings and roads and stuff like that. But we don't really know what the value of life is. Women are what makes life possible on Earth in a very real way. They're the life givers and should be treated as the goddesses they are. We worship the ground they walk on, and we should. And because we don't know, we really don't. We believe we do. We walk around and it's a man's world and all this kind of stuff. They're the ones that really understand, because when families break up and kids are tortured and wives are tortured, what happens? Men leave their families. We have a despicable and horrific history. It continues today, especially in some of the underclass, where three quarters of all families don't have fathers at home. It is despicable, and I'm ashamed as a man to say that. And so, what you see, you know, when I see my son who's finishing his first deal for his first graphic novel that he's going to write.
Wow.
And draw himself, and he's negotiating with the lawyer, and I'm going, that's my son. And when Sophie steps up and, you know, takes life by the scruff of the neck and says, deal with it, I'm here, how could you not be proud?
Yeah, absolutely.
True. Gene, I know before you were a television star and before you were a best-selling author, you used to be in a band, right?
Actually, you guys should get out and smell the roses. See what's going on outside. It's just finished 30 stadiums in Europe on our 35th anniversary world tour.
I wanted to tell you, Gene.
Wait a minute.
All right.
August 4th, we'll be playing one of the only four shows we're doing this year at the foot of Mount Rushmore for 250,000 people. That's a quarter of a million people, baby.
Yeah, wow. Baby!
Wow. Well, I just wanted to say that I saw you at the Cap Center, I think about 9 years ago, when you did the tour from 77. You came out again in the makeup, and it was, without doubt, the best concert I've ever been to. And if you get a chance, folks, see this band.
Have I ever told you how powerful and attractive you are?
That's Rob Spiewak. That's the man right over here. I know we got to let you go, Gene. We got a few more quick questions for you. Number one, do you have T-shirts with the money bag logo that you could send? You could send us.
Yes
I'm asking Gene Simmons for something for free.
Good luck.
If you log on to GeneSimmons.com, you'll see a banner up there. It's called the Gene Store. Yes, indeedy. We have all those things because I own the money bag logo.
All right. And now, next question, real quick. What really pisses you off? Because you are a cool guy, and I really want to know what pisses Gene Simmons off.
I will tell you the God's honest truth is I'm usually disappointed by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I think we err on the dark side. And if it wasn't for stuff like religion and mom and dad, we'd be killing and eating each other. Because, by the way, historically, we did.
Yes,
yeah.
It's true. And it
is.
Go ahead.
It is civilization itself, humanism, religion, in most forms it takes, not all forms. There are some religions I have a problem with. And mom and dad, without those things, I think we'd be back in the Stone Age killing and, kill or be killed and even eating each other.
I would tell people that have not gotten a chance to see Gene Simmons' Family Jewels program on A&E, if you look at that show and you think you need the piece of paper to have a family unit that is as tight as anything, that's what fascinates me about this show because it's such a wonderful family unit. One of the things I observed about you, and I don't know you personally, and I don't know what your life is when it's off camera, but do you ever completely chill out? Because I get the distinct impression, Gene, when I'm watching you, that you are always on, that there is no off switch, whether it's performing with the swing band or whether you're finding different business opportunities, that you're going. Do you ever chill out? Do you ever relax?
Well, of course. God in his infinite wisdom has invented something called night, where you don't have to do anything. You can close your eyes, turn the phone, and just rest. And then the next day you can get up and do all kinds of stuff. The idea of spending 24 hours doing nothing is what? Like, you go to the sunset, you see it go down, and then what have you got to show for that day?
And are women still hurtling themselves at you, Gene? Does that still happen wherever you go? Because
you have to take the religious point of view. You see, in the good book, it says, spread thy seed. And I'm simply doing the Lord's work.
That is a fitting place to end.
You're a good man.
Gene, anytime you're in D.C., we'd love to get you in studio. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Actually, I'll be the keynote speaker of the AARP convention September 6th for 30,000 people.
You're kidding.
that's not a joke. You're telling the truth, right?
September the 6th.
Wow.
Gene, if you have a moment in your schedule when you're doing that, we would love to have you come by.
God knows.
Come by the studio because we're all enormous fans. You're a great guy to talk to, and I'm very, very happy for you and your entire family.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Gene.
You bet.
Okay,
bye.
We'll talk to you later. It's like Donald Trump meets rock star.
Isn't it?
That's
amazing,
Gene Simmons.
Isn't it?
The book is Ladies of the Night, a historical and personal perspective on the world's oldest profession.
I wish he had more opinions.
He is who he is.
That's right.
What you see is what you get.
That's right.
And the way he talks, if he told me the sky was green, I'd say, yeah, he's probably right.
I still get grossed out by that tape we play, though.
Uh-huh.
The forces of gravity caused my pants. But, he's a man who does what he does.
Yeah.
And, go buy the book. I forgot to ask him if it had pictures.
Oh. I think it might if it's an art book.
I hope it does. We'll come back with the Hollywood buzz and more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show right after these messages.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.